So much has changed in the last 100 years. A woman's magazine in the year 1900 printed some predictions for the year 2000. Some of their ideas were really close. Listen to these. Automobiles will be cheaper than horses are today. Hot or cold air will be turned on from spigots to regulate the temperature of a house, as we now turn on hot or cold water from spigots to regulate the temperature of a bath. Man will see around the world. Persons and things of all kinds will be brought within focus of cameras connected electronically with screens at the opposite ends of circuits, thousands of miles at a span. Wireless telephone and telegraph circuits will span the world. Photographs will be telegraphed from any distance. Grand opera will be telephoned to private homes and will sound as harmonious as though enjoyed from a theater box. Pneumatic tubes, instead of store wagons, will deliver packages and bundles. Well, they sort of missed it on that last one, but what amazing insight they had. I'm sure many readers just balked at the seemingly impossible predictions. Yet who would have predicted our current state of the family? Would they have guessed that half of new marriages would end in divorce? Would they have envisioned the disconnected nature of the typical modern family? Would the lifestyles and actions of the fathers, mothers, teens, tweens, and children have shocked them beyond belief? Could they foresee deadbeat dads, impoverished single moms, pervasive rebellion among teenagers, sexually active preteens and latchkey kids? And in the midst of all this trouble is a culture of entertainment that continues to drive a wedge between children and parents and between husbands and wives, and in doing so continue to shake their fists at God in defiance. Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. Be sure to send us your comments or questions to podcast@MediaTalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast@MediaTalk101.org. If you find this program helpful, then please consider letting others know about it and help us get the word out. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. I hope you've been encouraged and challenged through this podcast series that I'm calling The Counterfeit Life, and I'm glad once again to have Rhett Simpkins with me in our studio. Rhett is my right-hand man here at Media Talk 101 and my co-host for this podcast. Welcome, Rhett.
Thanks. It's been a great opportunity, though I'm a little out of my comfort zone.
Well, I think that you're doing a great job, and one of our listeners sent an email and said, "We are really enjoying your podcast and look forward to downloading and listening to every one you post. I especially like how it's not just you talking. Rhett really adds to the podcast and it makes it just that much better."
Well, they were certainly being very gracious. But enough about co-hosts. Let's get to the topic. You mentioned last week that you wanted to talk about the marketing of rebellion and family conflict through media and entertainment.
Yes, and for those who might be listening to this podcast for the first time, this is the fourth episode in a series I'm calling The Counterfeit Life, and I believe that there are many lies being disseminated today in entertainment about what it means to live life to the fullest. The topics I've addressed so far are what I call the big, bold-faced lies that attack biblical morality. I've addressed sexual immorality, a gratuitous violence as entertainment, greed, and discontentment. And this week, I want to broach the subject of rebellion and family conflict.
And you've mentioned previously that these issues are not new to the digital age, and that's the case with this week's topic.
Correct. This is not a new conflict. The family has been under attack since the Garden of Eden. You know, the plague of sin and its consequential effects go to the core of humanity and community, especially the family, though. You know, and sin in itself is sufficient to wreak havoc in the home without a barrage of entertainment bolstering it. So, you're right, it's not a new conflict, but there are new weapons being used in the war against the family. Just like men who used to fight with swords and bows and arrows, they now fight with drones and M16s and stealth bombers and aircraft carriers, and now we have things like called cyber attacks and guided missiles. You know, the weapons being used today in the attempt to dismantle the family are relatively new, but terribly effective in changing views and impacting attitudes and behaviors. You know, men, women, children, they're all facing a new kind of warfare, and the devastation can be witnessed all around us.
So how is media and entertainment playing a role in this battle against the family?
Well, let me try to give a compressed, and I mean really compressed timeline that I hope will paint a broad, and that would have to be a very broad, picture of this downward spiral. And let me begin with the invention of the telegraph, which was an amazing breakthrough, allowing distant, simultaneous communication for the first time in history. This not only paved the trail for the telephone, the radio, the television, and the internet, it also ushered in an age of diminishing presence in relationships as electronic devices would supplant timeless means and nuance of communication between all aspects of society. Then the radio made its way into homes. And when I think of this era, I think of the old TV show, The Waltons. Did you ever watch that?
Oh, yeah.
I know you're younger, but in fact, I was older to have seen The Waltons. So it was all, you know, reruns of The Waltons. But I think about that when I think of radio, because if you've seen an episode of The Waltons, each episode begins with this sequence, which culminates with a shot of what? Do you remember?
The family sitting around the radio, I think.
They were bringing in. Actually, they were lugging a new radio into the house. This was kind of the culminating thing. And let me just say this. You know, this was a device that didn't bring the family together for education and entertainment. That already existed in the home for centuries, upon centuries, without radio. But it did begin to program the family. And it, as it has been said, after all, programming does program. And though they were all together in the evening, the stories were no longer being told by dad or mom or grandpa or grandma. The radio did that and did it better. Or did it really? The family no longer needed to get out instruments to play or use their voices to sing. The radio did that, and it did it better. Or did it really? You know, so hopefully you get the point.
Yeah, and let me quickly interject. If you're listening to this for the first time, you may begin to think that Philip is anti-technology or anti-media. Be sure to listen to episode one of this podcast to get a clearer understanding.
That's a good point. And, you know, hopefully, What I really hope that you can see is that there was a major shift taking place that would have far-reaching effects. You know, a family sitting around listening to an entertaining radio program hardly seems like an attack against the family. And in some ways, I don't think it was an intentional effort by at least most producers to begin dismantling the family. It was like a stream, you know, a small stream that the family stepped into that steadily rose. And now it's a torrential flood, but it didn't happen all at once. And then came the television, but eventually one television wasn't enough. It had to be two or more to cater to different ages or interests, and originally it was just three channels, and three channels was not enough. Now it's 300 or more, you know, and it began to dictate the family's schedule. It usurped many family mealtimes together, chopping off yet another opportunity for engaged conversation. It became a surrogate for many other activities, but it didn't stop there. Then came the gaming consoles, then the personal media devices, like the popular Sony Walkman that, you know, I owned a couple of those growing up, which gave rise eventually to the iPod. Plus, you add to that the internet and cell phones, and then you have the internet on cell phones. And all of these things have proven to foster isolationism in the home. And as my friend Kevin Swanson said in our documentary Captivated, this very, very lonely, existentialistic, narcissistic, self-oriented age.
You haven't even talked about the content of entertainment yet. It's not just the new technologies that are driving a wedge in homes, it's also the messages, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the devices themselves can be problematic, but that's just a fragment of a bigger problem. It's a single shard from a larger break. But you're right about the messages, and not only direct messages that drive a wedge in the homes, but also what I would call subtle messages being preached. I mean, literally, these are being preached. We don't think of that, but you know, you've heard me say before, you know, every song is a sermon, every movie's a message, every TV's a teacher, every word's a weapon, and they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. So these messages are being preached through media. how families, how husbands, how wives, how children, how young adults, how they're being portrayed in these TV shows, in the movies, through music. And so I'm going to make a huge leap now, and I'm going to introduce the subject of the marketing rebellion in media, which is something specific I wanted to bring up. So I want to do that by reading a quote from a man named Mark Crispin Miller. He's a communications professor at NYU. This was quoted on a PBS Frontline program called Merchants of Cool. And he says this: often there's a kind of official and systematic rebelliousness that's reflected in media products pitched at kids. It's part of the official rock video worldview. It's part of the official advertising worldview that your parents are creeps, teachers are nerds and idiots, authority figures are laughable, nobody can really understand kids except the corporate sponsor. That huge authority has, interestingly enough, emerged as the sort of tacit superhero of consumer culture. That's the coolest entity of all.
Wow, that was a pretty huge leap.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't exactly the smoothest transition, but I do realize that we're eventually going to run out of time, and there's so much to be said. You know, it's interesting when I read that quote by Mark, you know, this is not a Christian man. You know, he's not looking at media from a biblical worldview. He's somewhat, you know, coming at it just from, hey, this is reality. You know, rebellion is being marketed. So if the world can recognize that, how much more should Christians? And so let me say this. You know, I am the king of disclaimers. I'm always giving them in these podcasts. So let me give another one. I realize that there's no way to effectively tackle any of these subjects, you know, in this series comprehensively, even if there was unlimited time, much less, you know, a short podcast. So let me just reiterate this, that my goal is not to be comprehensive, but hopefully to kickstart some thinking on each of these topics, to muse rather than amuse ourselves to death, or to put it another way, to be deceived into living a counterfeit life rather than live life to its fullest according to God's design and purposes.
Well, now that we're on the subject of rebellion being promoted through entertainment, can you give us some Bible references that may help as an antidote?
Well, let me introduce an important passage by saying that rebellion and what I would call its companions, disobedience and stubbornness, are really just symptoms of a sinful heart. And in particular, it's a manifestation of a person whose heart is opposed and resistant to lawful authorities and being subject to them. Even just saying that, even giving that definition of rebellion probably incites anger in some people that are listening, because their hearts are rebellious, you know. A child can rebel against a parent's lawful authority, a woman against her husband, an employee against an employer, a soldier against a superior, and ultimately a man against his maker. So in placing a focus for the time on this parent-child relationship, there's this powerful prophecy found in Malachi about the future ministry of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner to announce the coming of the Messiah. It's Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, the fulfillment of this verse is also recorded in Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. So let me read that. It says, and this is speaking of John the Baptist, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah," and then it quotes from this verse in Malachi, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So let me just say, it is a blessing when hearts are turned in the right direction. And it's the exception rather than the rule to find a portrayal in entertainment of a father turning his heart to his children and children to the father. Now, I have a friend, Marlon Bontrager. He's a dairy farmer, and his family also sings and plays Christian bluegrass music around the country. And for those of you who know anything about dairy farming, you're probably scratching your head thinking, how does that work? Well, you know, they make it work, and you'd have to get to know them to learn a little bit more about that. But, you know, we're Media Talk 101. We're actually here in the midst of dairy country. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we have lots of friends, in fact, neighbors that are dairy farmers. And we realize the amount of work that goes into that. But anyway, Marlon likes to share his testimony that over 10 years ago, his heart was not toward his family, but was wrapped up in his work. And if he had kept that course, his actions might have bred rebellion among his children. But praise God, his course was changed. And that's what he likes to share. Actually, God brought conviction in his heart, and he turned to the Lord and to his family, and he began to make changes. And what's neat is that every year now on Labor Day, he holds a large community event on their farm in Iowa called the Turning Hearts Celebration. And it's to commemorate the time when he turned his heart to his family. Now, I don't know if the choice of Labor Day each year was symbolic of his former focus or the fact that his wife has given birth to 10 children and has been through a lot of labor. But by the way, you can visit their website at BontragerFamilySingers.com. And they're just a wonderful family, very inspirational. I can't say enough great things about them. I'm privileged to call them friends. And if you ever get a chance to see them in concert, you will be tremendously blessed. In fact, if you're listening and you're a pastor of a church, go to their website and book them. Make sure you get them, bring them to your church. And it's just amazing ministry that they do. So, maybe if you're not a pastor, you know, tell your pastor, come and invite this family to come and sing at our church. You will be blessed. And, you know, but ultimately, as we talk about this subject, it's about living life to the fullest. That's the point we're trying to make. And do you want to live? Well, follow God's direction, not the world's.
I don't know if this is the direction you're going, but I've heard you share a particular verse you have all of your children memorize.
Yes. You know, actually, the first verse that I have all of them memorize when they're little is Ephesians 6:1, which says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." In fact, I have them memorize this long before they can even read. And a story I like to share is, you know, when they were little and we were eating at a Chinese restaurant, and the little kids want to know what was written on that little piece of paper that came out of the funny-looking cookie, it was uncanny how it always seemed to have Ephesians 6:1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Of course, you know, as the kids got older and began to read, they would be in the know and would give a sly smile as we utilize that opportunity to embed this timeless truth in our younger ones. And, you know, actually, you know, you've got some younger ones, Rhett, so you should give that a try.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
At least, you know, having them start by memorizing Ephesians 6:1. I don't know about the fortune cookie side of that, but it's part of the antidote you asked about.
There seems to be such a battle in our culture against the simple truth that children should obey their parents. I know there are instructions to men about not exasperating their children and about loving their wife and about the wife respecting her husband, and instructions to employers and employees, yet it all seems to be under attack and the enemy seems to have a strong foothold in these areas today.
Well, you know, absolutely. And know for certain that everything that is good and righteous is under attack today. And those who have suppressed the truth and unrighteousness are not content to keep it to themselves. They seek to justify their wayward actions and attitudes by trying to bring others to their side. And this reminds me of this verse by the Apostle Peter. He writes about the ungodly and their attitude towards followers of Christ. He says, "They think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." And that's from 1 Peter 4, verse 4. You know, it really bothers people who are on the wrong side of this war to see individuals or families running the opposite direction against this torrential stream that we're talking about, this wide path that Jesus described to destruction. They are incensed at the audaciousness and the resolve by anyone willing to stand with the Lord as a witness of righteousness. Now, they don't sit on the sidelines, and we cannot be content to sit on the sidelines. I cannot be content to sit on the sidelines and say nothing. So let me go on the record and say this. The family is God's invention, and when it seeks to glorify Him and function according to His design and instruction, it is unfathomable blessing to this generation.
I'm sure few would try to argue that entertainment has been fostering rebellion. I mean, how could you when you just watch any show, you know, any movie, it just seems to be there. But if someone was skeptical, could you explain why you are so certain this is the case?
You know, I could give you examples of this kind of content and media, but there are other organizations who have made this a focus, and there's no need to double up on things that are already being done. So, So if you need to be convinced, then be sure to visit PluggedIn.com by Focus on the Family, or ParentsTV.org, which is the Parents Television Council. And both of those organizations, you can sign up for a weekly email newsletter from each of them. And let me just forewarn you, if you have a sensitive conscience, you will be greatly disturbed by what they report. It's like what the Apostle Peter wrote about Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, which says, "He was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." And, you know, Plugged In, they used to put out a magazine, and when I was serving it as a pastor, I used to get the monthly magazine. Now it's just a weekly newsletter, and they've got a lot of information on that website. But I remember getting the magazine and just, you know, reading. It was really thin. There wasn't a whole lot to it, but it would be reviews on movies and TV shows and video games and trying to think of what else they had, you know, videos that were coming out and music, you know, so that was what they were reviewing quite a bit. And I remember just reading these reviews and I'd just be so sick in my stomach. And my response, and actually this is kind of how Media Talk 101 began. Well, I mean, long before it began, it started with going into the sanctuary after reading Plugged In magazine every month and just weeping before God, you know, crying out to God, "God, what can you do? What a torrent of lawlessness and godlessness in our country today, being disseminated through this media." And so that's really where God began to stir in my heart. But let me answer the question that you gave also by giving you a firsthand account. You know, I was a rebellious teen. And I'm truly ashamed of it now. And so let me just say also that it wasn't just media. You know, that was certainly a key factor that I can witness to firsthand. But it was also due to peer influence at school. You know, I was discipled in rebellion. But how are my friends discipled into making disciples after their own kind? Well, it was no doubt the influence of entertainment was the greatest factor. The rebellious music, the rebellious themes in movies and TV shows and video games. And like the saying goes, garbage in equals garbage out. And I can testify that reality firsthand. And I was a teen in the late 80s. And even if I was ignorant, which I'm not, but even if I was ignorant of all the entertainment today, I could assure you that things have not gotten better. They have certainly become worse since I was a teen.
How did you discover that your rebellion was a counterfeit and that you were missing out on real life?
Well, first of all, I'm so grateful for a loving and forgiving Lord and Savior, and also for having parents who followed the example of their Lord and Savior. And so my parents are just amazing. I'm so grateful for them. And I was raised in a strong Christian home. We were in church all the time. And they are amazing parents because of God's amazing grace. And, you know, if I talk to them and I tell them these kind of things, I'm like, "Oh, Mom, Dad, you guys are so amazing. I'm so glad that God has, you know, allowed me to be part of your family." And they'll say, "Oh, it wasn't us. It was God's grace." And that tells you a lot about my parents. They provided good boundaries, discipline in our lives. They were careful about media in the home. So really, I don't have a lot bad to say. It's all good, but yet still, I became rebellious. And so, I have to say, part of that was all of the great things that they built into my life. Much of it was undone out in the in public school. And, you know, so I also want to go on the record just saying, you know, I wish I had been homeschooled. Now, my parents didn't know anything about homeschooling, and we homeschool our children, but I really wished I'd been homeschooled, even just for that purpose alone, that my parents were building a great foundation that was steadily dismantled outside of the home. And then you add to that, once rebellion began to take root in my heart, then beginning to allow my heart and mind to be accosted by media, which continued to foster and fuel that rebellion, which I experienced firsthand as well. So, but the other thing in how I, you know, the Lord turned my heart, which I've shared my story in another podcast before, but as far as this issue of rebellion, you know, my parents did such a great job, but there came a point where they got on their knees on a daily basis and they began to pray for their son. Now, I found out about this later because they were desperate. They said, what can we do? You know, the heart of our son is turned against us and it's turned away from God. So they began to pray, and they prayed diligently for their son. And, you know, I believe the Lord answered their prayers. I believe the Lord was merciful to me. And the interesting thing is that, and I had some really unjustified animosity towards my father. And, you know, what was interesting is that when my heart turned to the Lord, it also turned to my parents. And that animosity in my heart was completely demolished. And, you know, that's you know, going back to Malachi, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. But part of that was about also the hearts being turned to the Lord. And it's got to start there. You know, our hearts have to be turned to the Lord. And when they are, the other things begin to fall into place.
This sounds like a good place to transition to some action steps before we wrap this episode up. So what are some suggestions for our audience?
Well, a good step to take to start with is to make sure that you're careful. You know, we say this all the time, be careful what you consume when it comes to entertainment. But let me get a little more specific. When you do sit down to watch something or take time to listen to something, make sure you're doing it as a family. You know, so that's one of the things that has been dismantled, is just everybody kind of doing their own thing. So there are so many great things that can happen through just even doing that simple thing, making sure you're careful about what you are watching, but then do it as a family. Make it, and then it gives all sorts of opportunity for training or correction, or, you know, maybe there's some things that give opportunity to address certain subjects, that whatever the case may be, that simple step, do it as a family. So that's one thing. Sit down together. Now, also in our home, and this was, I have to say, due to some insight from Kevin Swanson, is that in our home we have a headphone ban in our household because of the way it fosters isolationism. But we love music, and we love to listen to music, and we love to listen to stories, but we do it together as a family, in community. And so it's not like we put a lot of restrictions on, you know, being able to listen to God honoring and glorifying music or stories, but we do things as a family. You know, another action step is that you can go to our website, and under the tab that says action steps, you can find what we call a media discernment worksheet. Now, and you can download it for free. This worksheet is based on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, which describes culture and what it calls the last days. And you'll find that there are 19 traits listed, and among them is disobedient to parents. So I would encourage you to download the worksheet, use it to help analyze the next movie or the TV show you watch. And so it's pretty self-explanatory once you download that. There's some instructions that come along with it. Now, also parents need to be spending time with their children in the Bible, you know, reading it and teaching the word in their home. You know, we can't just sit back and let the world continue to define all of these things. We need to make sure our children are getting the right definitions, and that's what this whole podcast series is about. And lastly, you know, don't buy into the media's portrayal of family. Don't. I mean, That's the battle we're facing, these lies. Instead, fulfill your unique role that God has called you to in the family with honor and integrity. And no doubt, many of you might live in less than an ideal family situation, whether you're a spouse or a parent or a child. You know, no doubt, long before media and entertainment, like I've already said before, homes have been filled with conflict and distrust and betrayal, rejection, or seemingly lesser things like disinterest or emotional distance or, you know, with favoritism with children. You know, we can't always control our circumstances, but we can follow the example of Christ. And with God's help, we can live a life of love as our goal and motivation. We can rise above the temporary conflicts and troubles to reflect the light of Christ in our homes. You've been listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@MediaTalk101.org. Join us next week for part 5 of The Counterfeit Life as we discuss a couple more lies being disseminated through today's entertainment and the truth from the Bible to counter those lies.